Into the gospel for today. It's about light, isn't it? Jesus says, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. My Father's command leads to eternal life. My Father's command for me to die on the cross, it is eternal life, Jesus said. And everything else he said, this is God's word. Grace and peace to you then from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And say it with me. Amen. You'll forgive me if I roll up God's word. That's what feels most natural to me, to have God's word in my hand like a scroll. And it's interesting for me, as a man from so far away and so long ago, to hear you singing about Jesus as your light, because that's what I wrote about in the gospel, that you've been reading the gospel named after me. I think of my earliest memory. I'm a little boy by the lake. And the sun would rise like it does here on your town, but a little later. We were down in a bowl, hills around us, and the water would lap the beach at the edge of our village, and my father would be coming back from fishing often, very early in the morning. And the water in the morning was cold, and it chilled me when I was a little boy. It chilled me. But the thought of being like my father, Zebedee, it thrilled me too. I wanted to be like my daddy. I wanted to become a fisherman, and so I did as I got a little older. My brother James before me. We would fish with our father, and we had partners. They were from our part of the lake area too. Shimon and his brother Andrew. It filled me, this whole lake. Do you like being outdoors? I love that lake. I love the fish. I loved working with my father. And I went to the synagogue every Saturday with my father and my mother Salome and my brother James. And there's something else. It chilled me, and it filled me. And well, I ended up, partly because of what I heard from the prophets, partly because of the buzz in our area, going down south of the lake, down the river, there was a man with the same name as mine, different man, a man named John, a man whose name means the Lord is gracious, just like mine. And he pointed at another man, at a relative of mine, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. And it thrilled me. When he said it a second day, look, the Lamb of God, I actually walked up to him. Andrew and I went up to him, and we were nervous, and we said, Rabbi, where are you staying? And it thrilled me. He said, come and see. And we spent the whole day with him. He was like that. He was not the kind of guy to shout or yell. That was what the prophets had said about him, I realized later. Have you read this in the good news that my friend Matthew wrote down? He was always taking notes. I wasn't the careful copier like he. But Matthew wrote down what the blessed prophet Isaiah had said before, 700 years before us, that when the Messiah comes, he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. And that's one of the things I loved about Jesus. And I'll just say I loved everything about Jesus. And he considered me his friend, not only like the other 12. I was his best friend. When you read about me in the good news, according to John, that's what you call it, right? I never call myself by my name. I always call myself the disciple that Jesus loved. I still can't get over it 60 some years after he rose from the dead. I was the one he confided in at times, and I got to go special times with him when others did not, and it thrilled me. I should tell you more how it started. It wasn't just that we spent that day with him. We followed him to a wedding, my brother James and I, and we saw his glory, and we trusted in him. We didn't really know the half of it yet. We did some fishing. It wasn't a full-time following at first. I remember the one time I was by the shore, and Jesus came up, and again, it wasn't really a shout. It surely was an invitation. He said, "Follow me," and we left our nets. I left my father's hired men because that call thrilled me. And God, I can tell now already, was working on filling me, although what really he wanted to do in me didn't take place till after Jesus ascended into heaven. But how do you explain this? Another time we were out in the boat. This was actually before. And James and I in one boat, and Simon and Jesus in the other boat, and we hadn't caught anything all night, so Jesus says to Simon, "Put out your nets." This doesn't make any sense, not in the daytime, but we caught so many, first Simon and that boat, so many fish, they called us over. You should have heard me then. I was the one shouting. I thought we were going to sink our boat. We had so many fish in both boats. And Simon, Shimon is the way we usually say it in Israel. Shimon calls out, "Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man." Where is Jesus supposed to go? Please don't leave us, Jesus. We loved following him, even when he perplexed us. He rarely shouted. Have I said that already? He taught. He wept. Maybe we should talk about the two times he wept, because he shouted then too. And that'll help you understand why he's shouting in the part that we were reading for today. We were at the tomb of Lazarus, whom Jesus loved also. And he cried out. It was unmistakable. He was getting everyone's attention. "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out. And that's when the enemies, who had been plotting for a long time, that's when they said, "This is it." I knew a little bit more about the inner workings of Jerusalem than the other disciples. It was frightening. Especially to hear more detail later. They actually wanted to kill Lazarus too. Well, it wasn't that long after that. We actually left to get away from them for a while. Came back toward Jerusalem. Crowds are shouting. Jesus is heading down the mountain as he's on the donkey's colt, and he's weeping. He's weeping over Jerusalem. A couple days after that, Jesus did raise his voice one more time. Matthew tells part of it. I got to record the part that none of my other friends, Matthew or Mark or Luke, wrote down. Does it work? I'm so unfamiliar with your time and place. Does it work for you when pastors yell? Does that get everybody? It didn't where I was from. Either that little fishing village where I was from originally, or Ephesus, the huge city where I ended up when I was an old man. But Jesus yelled. Jesus yelled. He cried out, "If anyone believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me." I hesitate to yell it so loud. Is this, what do they call this, a microphone? But he yelled. What he cried, I want to tell you about for a few minutes, but why he cried is the real question for you. Why did he cry? I'll tell you how it made me feel. Jesus cried out, "When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me." Do you notice how in this part of your Bible, it still stuns me that anything I wrote is part of God's Word? Do you notice how I didn't write any descriptions of where Jesus was? We were in Jerusalem. But what do you call them, movies? We don't have these things in my time and place. This is like in one of your movies, I'm told, when everything just fades behind someone, when it's just black. Don't worry about who he's speaking to or where he's speaking or even when. I can tell you this was only a couple of days before Jesus died on the cross, but it chilled me what Jesus said. I have come, he said, into the world as a light that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. But as for the person who hears my words yet does not keep them, I do not judge him. The words I spoke, that very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. When I wrote things down like that, I shouldn't just say it chilled me. This is not just like the waters of the lake when I'm a little boy and it's early in the morning. It killed me. Beloved, it killed me. My friend Paul would say it crucified him. It killed me. That God will condemn people on the last day, that God should condemn me, that Jesus came so that no one would stay in darkness. I was in darkness when I was a little Jewish boy by the lake. You were born in darkness, and all the good things you could ever try to do. This is one of the other things that would hit me all the time. Because Jesus would look at us and say stuff that I'll never forget. Luke wrote this one down. We asked him about how to pray, and he said, if you, then, though you are evil, evil? If you, evil ones, know how to give good gifts to your children, he said. And that killed me. It killed my pride. I was one of his loved ones. I followed him, but that night before he died, I ran away like everyone else. I tried to follow him later. You know what people started shouting then. It wasn't Jesus shouting at all. Jesus kept so quiet. He was so willing to do what the Father wanted. That's what he said, didn't he? I just came to say what the Father told me to say. I'm just here because the Father sent me. If you believe in me, you're believing in the Father. It's the Father who sent me. I was hiding a little bit. I was nearby when he was in front of Caiaphas, and they screamed at him, "This is blasphemy." When people shouted the next day, "Crucify him," they shouted it, "Crucify him." Why would they shout for Barabbas instead of Jesus? Why didn't he cry out then? He was like a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't say anything. And why did he cry in this little section? Can I tell you the other thing that kills me still? It killed me then and it kills me now. My friend Judas heard all these same things. But he betrayed him. There were leaders among the Jews who heard Jesus say all these things and they still rejected him to their dying day. Even after Jesus rose from the dead, they rejected him. But when Jesus rose, it thrilled me. I was the one there at the cross, you remember. I heard him, his last cry, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And I was just like the others. I didn't believe at first, but when I saw the empty tomb, I believed. And I understood later that what he had shouted a couple days before he died, it was like a summary of everything that he wanted to tell us. My Father's command that I go and die, that is eternal life, he was saying. Eternal life? For me, of all people? Eternal life for anybody and everybody? For free? And the more I reviewed what he said stuff like this so often, the simplicity I'm a light. I came because you were in darkness. If you believe in me, you just believe what the Father wants you to believe about him. I didn't send myself. The Father sent me. His command is eternal life. All that, so simple. That was because it was for everybody, and so humble. That's because he was keeping his Father's law even as he spoke. He was humble for you. And it thrilled me then, and it thrills me now. And he was dead for you, and now he lives, loved ones. I saw him. I touched him. It thrilled, well, at first it killed me, and it thrilled me, and it filled me. It gave me hope. It gave me energy. I ended up being his apostle all the way to what do you call it today? Turkey? What he cried. Very important, but why he cried. Why did he cry? It was to get people's attention. When he couldn't get their attention, when he knew he wasn't getting through to Judas, when he wasn't getting through to Jewish leaders, he started screaming at them almost. There is a judge for the one who doesn't believe what I say. My own words will condemn him at the last day. Oh, Jesus. Do you know someone that's been resisting Jesus? Judas resisted him to the end, but there were others who heard Jesus. Nicodemus. I got to write this part down too. Nicodemus was one of those leaders, and he was on the fence about Jesus, but in the end, he helped Joseph bury him in Joseph's tomb. Nicodemus was one of those Jewish leaders who ended up believing. Loved ones, has it killed you? This is why he cried, to get your attention. 2,000 years later on the other side of the world, will it kill you and your pride? To know the darkness you were in and you are headed for without him, does it thrill you? Not just inform your head, but thrill your heart that he died for you, that he lives. Does it fill you with hope and with energy and with persistence to keep praying for others and telling them? Very little that connects me and you. I lived so far away. I wrote in Greek, not in English. I spoke Aramaic and Greek. But God's word and bread and wine, Jesus' body and blood. I get to come from heaven today and tell you what I wrote a long time ago. We worship the Lamb there. We see him. If you're coming up in a few minutes, the Father told me I could say this. This is to thrill you and to fill you. This is why Jesus cried what he cried right before he died. To get your attention personally and tell you that eternal life is yours. That is the Father's command. Believe it. Share it. Amen.